Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie. Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are going to be speaking with Anna Cooper. Anna Cooper, as you may, if that name sounds familiar, she is Faith Louise's sister. Hi, Anna.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Anna. Can you please start out by telling our listeners what exactly is Addison's disease?
Okay. Addison's disease, it's a form of an adrenal insufficiency. It is the rarest form of adrenal insufficiency. It's autoimmune.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And basically it causes the individual to stop producing cortisol, and they produce either little or no aldosterone. And these are the two hormones that are responsible for your fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no fight or flight response, which means actually you have nothing telling your body how to respond to extra stress. So the hormones don't tell your different body systems how to respond to the extra stress that's placed on your body.
Okay. And what sort of symptoms were you experiencing, and how did that your whole diagnosis? Can you tell us a little bit about how you received your diagnosis and what led to that?
We weren't looking for a new diagnosis. We were just looking for better answers on how to manage the diagnosis I had.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I had previously been in the hospital with what we now believe was my first adrenal crisis. I went to my GI doctor as a hospital follow-up visit.
Okay.
And she admitted me back into the hospital because they couldn't get a blood pressure.
Oh my gosh.
Which, wow.
They could not find a blood pressure on me. And I just was very much unwell.
Mm-hmm.
I was having trouble holding myself up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was just holding myself upright. I just was in bad shape. And we thought all that was because of the diagnoses I already had. And having really low blood pressure is something with Addison's. One of the things that we just thought was a weird thing with me, and maybe was I have hyperpigmentation, which basically means that I had darker skin.
Mm-hmm.
My sisters would kind of tease me about the fact that I had on my arms, it looked like I had a permanent tan because of the hyperpigmentation, which we now know was a sign of the Addison's disease.
Okay.
But while I was in the hospital, the hospitalist just out of the blue decided, let's just try something crazy and test her morning cortisol level.
Mm-hmm.
And it was extremely low.
Oh, geez.
So it was hard to say what was Addison's and what was POTS, what was right. Gastroparesis, you know.
Because there's so much overlap.
There is a lot of overlap.
Yeah. And I do know what you're talking about. I also have gastroparesis and POTS, and have gone through the early morning testing for cortisol. And it's because they also, thought Addison's might be in play, but it was not for me. But I'm kind of curious, you know, how things went from there.
Well, what I was going to ask mm-hmm. was, are there any tests out there? I know you started talking about some tests that you had in the hospital, but are there any specific tests out there that can help diagnose Addison's disease?
What I had when I found from looking at like MayoClinic.com mm-hmm. or whatever, NIST.org, was it's called the ACTH test, which they inject a steroid through an IV, and then they check your cortisol level at certain intervals to see kind of what your, how your body responds to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of tells them if there's something going on there. I also had a CAT scan mm-hmm. To kind of look at my adrenal glands and see, you know, could there be like a tumor? Could there be damage from anything? Because there's so many things that could damage it.
Mm-hmm.
I know there might be some other tests out there, but those are the two main tests that are done specifically for Addison's.
Thank you. Also, how have you and your healthcare team, how have you guys decided to treat your condition?
We did start with the normal hydrocortisone tablets. You take it like 8, 1, and 6, and they have to be taken on time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a standard treatment, and it works for most. However, with my gastroparesis, it did not work for me.
Okay.
So I now have the cortisol pump.
Okay.
Which has been, it's been a huge change in my treatment because I'm now getting consistent amount of steroids based on time of day.
Okay.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it's programmed so that, you know, I get it, you know, different amounts during different parts of the day. So it kind of mimics the what the body would be producing.
Oh, that's very cool. And is it something that affixes to your skin or is it an implant?
Oh, yeah, it is. I change it every 3 days.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a little cannula that, like, I, you know, put in each time I change my pump. Okay. I change the whole system pretty much every 3 days.
Okay.
So it's injected into my skin through a small cannula.
So it kind of sounds like a insulin pump, but it's not based on your current level. Like you said, mimicking the what your levels would be typically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. It goes exactly how I would be getting if I were producing it.
Did you have any trouble getting your, you know, getting treatment and getting the pump and the parts or infusion that you needed during the COVID pandemic? Did that affect anything?
Getting the pump and that treatment, that specifically,
mm-hmm.
I had trouble getting it,
mm-hmm.
but it had nothing to do with the COVID pandemic. It had everything to do with the doctor I was seeing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He was only looking at, well, this is, and a lot of individuals with chronic, have multiple different chronic conditions.
Sure.
They can relate.
Mm-hmm.
He was very much, well, this is a treatment that works for everybody else,
oh.
So therefore it should work for you.
Oh,
oh wow.
I'm so sorry.
And wow. So I was in a state where I was, my Addison's was not well managed.
Mm-hmm.
And so also I changed doctors.
Oh, good, good.
So once I changed doctors,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have as many issues. I did have issues with getting treatment for other conditions during the COVID pandemic, but not my Addison's.
Okay.
Issues.
And do you have an emergency plan in place in case you experience an Addisonian crisis?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a steroid emergency kit. So I have it's a full vial of the hydrocortisone.
Okay.
And then a needle and a syringe, because the full vial will have to be injected into my muscle. And then I would, as soon as that is done, I'll have to go to the local ER to be admitted until I'm stabilized.
Mm-hmm.
And I also would have to make adjustments on my cortisol pump under the direction of my endocrinologist. Okay. I won't do it based on an endocrinologist that doesn't know my body and my conditions.
Right.
If there's anything I can do, I won't do it by anybody else.
Okay.
Honor, can you tell us how common Addison's disease is?
It is actually under a rare disease.
Rare disease.
Okay. Because it only affects one in every 100,000 people.
Wow. Yeah, that's rare.
Yeah. So in my county, where it's only, 150,000 in the entire county.
You're it.
You're it, yeah.
I'm the only, yeah, it's just me.
Yep.
I'm it.
Yep.
So it is considered a rare.
Okay. We spoke with someone before. And they actually carry around with them like a card
yeah.
explaining what Addison's disease is, because it, like you said, it's so rare that when she has to go to the emergency room, she wants to be able to quickly educate the staff
sure.
so that they know what they're dealing with and realize that it's an emergency situation when she's there. And that's very rare. Yeah.
Do you have something like that made up, or
I have I was given a two-page instruction.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Two-page instructions to be given to ER doctors, and one's to ER doctors, one's to the paramedics.
Oh, that's very good.
That explains briefly, this is what Addison is, and this is what you need to do.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear that, that you have it all worked out now, but it must have been stressful when, getting to that point.
Especially, again, if you're the only one
right.
in that county.
Right. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, you are extra special. We knew it all along, and now we have proof. Are there any studies going on to try and find a cure or reverse Addison's disease?
There is, and I looked at the Mayo Clinic to try to find what's out there for research studies, and I found two. One is they're researching to develop a delayed release corticosteroid and that they would put into pumps.
Okay.
That would be implanted under the skin.
Oh, okay.
And then deliver the steroids in a more accurate dose.
Okay.
That one sounds like it could be pretty interesting if they can get that to work. And there's also one for gene therapy.
Okay.
They'd be using the adrenal cortical stem cells.
Okay.
And combining with immunomodule treatment to modify the immune response. And use some gene therapy to try to modify its
That sounds like
how it works in the immune system.
Okay. That sounds like those are two really exciting things on, you know, for helping with the treatment and care.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm excited to see where that goes.
Well, another important thing, and we always talk to our guests about this, is self-care. And, Anna, what role does your self-care, how do you do that, your daily life? What do you do for yourself?
This is one that I actually kind of struggle with. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess in a way you can say that the fact that I take a lot of naps is self-care in a way.
Sure.
But I struggle with self-care because most days I'm either sleeping mm-hmm. or doing something medical. Mm-hmm. And I sleep a lot due to the fatigue that comes from having multiple health conditions.
Right.
So it's one of those things that, like, if I just had Addison's, I don't think I would be sleeping this much. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I want to make that statement that it's something that you probably, if you just have Addison's, you probably would not be sleeping a lot. Gotcha. Unless your Addison's is not well maintained.
Right.
But you have to do what you have to do for mm-hmm. yourself. And if it's sleeping, it's sleeping.
Yeah. I definitely do a lot of sleeping.
Okay. Have you ever tried, like, listening to audiobooks or anything like that while you're laying down or resting?
I don't.
Okay.
Right now I have a lot of brain fog.
Okay.
So that's understandable. Really hard to focus.
Sure.
Yeah. So even like listening to brain fog, listening to audiobooks, mm-hmm. you know, is difficult for me. Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, a lot of rest.
As far as self-care, like a lot of rest, I have started, it's something I've struggled with is like learning how to accept help from others.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That are like not like my parents mm-hmm. or like my immediate family. So like members of like my church,
mm-hmm.
like they've said they've asked how they can help. And I just, up until recently, I've just said, oh no, I'm okay. Even though they know that
you're struggling.
Because they know a lot of my health issues,
mm-hmm.
but so I'm slowly learning to really accept help. I mean, my sister helped me with this thinking of self-care and saying, like, I'm in a wine club.
Oh, cool.
With my favorite winery.
Mm-hmm.
And so twice a year, I get six different wines to
mm-hmm.
enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Like six bottles of wine. And you can either go with what they chose or you can mix it up
mm-hmm.
with what you enjoy. I like to see what they choose. It's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I video chat with my sister, Faith, when I'm doing my nighttime medical routine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I also try to video chat somewhat often with my goddaughter, too.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of self-care.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And Anna, what is the best advice you've received for living with a rare disease? And what advice would you give to someone who's been recently diagnosed with a rare disease?
I would say first and foremost is find your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find your supportive people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that are going to be there for you, even on your worst days.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are going to drive 2.5 hours just to drop off your go bag because you're unexpectedly put in the hospital.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
And you can't... There's no visitors. Literally, you're just dropping that off. They're just dropping that off.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, people that are going to come over and help wash your clothes, your
mm-hmm.
dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Or the ones that are going to sit there and listen to you vent.
Yeah, it sounds like you found a wonderful tribe. That sounds like a great group of people who
you got to have people like that on your corner.
Who understand absolutely. And are willing to make right. that extra effort. That's fantastic.
Yeah. They might not have time mm-hmm. to do the extra research.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you're looking at reputable sites that are medically sound.
Great advice.
But do your own research, be your own advocate, but join the Facebook group so you're not, you don't feel so alone mm-hmm. when there's days where your condition is just preventing you from doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great advice. I
mean, sometimes you just feel completely alone.
Mm-hmm. And I can't even imagine, with the pandemic and everything.
Yeah.
That's got to be tough. So I'm glad you've been able to find those people and find those resources. And that's great advice. Thank you very much for sharing that.
And Anna, how could our listeners learn more about you and also about Addison's disease?
Okay. For me, I'm on Instagram as Orange Zebra. So it's orange underscore zebra.
Orange Zebra. I'm sorry. We were laughing because we love it.
Orange underscore zebra.
Zebra.
86.
86. Okay.
I'm just picturing an orange zebra.
Well, it's zebra because it's a rare, you have rare conditions. And, that's fantastic. Love it.
I almost did like orange unicorn
mm-hmm.
because actually a lot of, I've been called a medical unicorn because mm-hmm. I have multiple rare conditions. Until I'm even more rare than a zebra.
Mm-hmm.
But orange, because I have multiple sclerosis, and that's one of my other conditions that is a big part of what I can and cannot do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So orange zebra, 86. And then for Addison's, I found some really good information on rare diseases. .org.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was that again?
At rarediseases.org.
Yeah, that's a great resource.
And then also on like Mayo Clinic has some good information, and like Cleveland Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
It is harder to find information on Addison's than it is on other conditions just because it is such a rare condition.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I know when we spoke with someone before that has Addison's, they said, when they go to the emergency room, the triage nurse often just looks with like a blank stare because they've never even heard of it before and never heard of an adrenal crisis or anything. And it's very rare.
Yeah, I had a doc when I was in the hospital 2 months ago. For sepsis.
Oh, geez.
I had a doctor tell me, you can't get an adrenal crisis unless you're in something traumatic like a car accident.
I'm thinking sepsis is pretty traumatic.
Wow.
I was like, no, like anything that is a huge stress on your body can cause an adrenal crisis.
Right.
Like being septic mm-hmm. and hallucinating.
Yeah, that's pretty stressful.
An adrenal crisis.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully they learned something from that experience. And
I really hope so.
Yeah.
Well, that's what goes with being your own advocate, making sure that you're...
But it's hard to do when you're septic.
No,
and
that's
and
true.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's when it was good to have someone who stayed with me.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And was able to advocate for me during the first half of my stay because I couldn't advocate for myself.
Right.
Because I couldn't speak for myself.
Right.
Now, was this at the hospital in your county?
Yes. It was hospital in my county. The university that I normally go to, mm-hmm. the university hospital. Because of COVID,
mm-hmm.
they are very much full.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm immunocompromised, I can't share a room.
Right,
I have
understood.
To have a private room.
Mm-hmm.
And so last two times I went to the university hospital, I ended up in their short-term stay. I mean, not short-term stay. Their, yeah, short-term stay, which is essentially a ER bay
Oh.
that was retrofitted into hospital rooms.
Oh, geez.
So literally, and every time I needed to go to the bathroom, I would have to have a nurse wheel me down the hallway into a bathroom that was not handicap accessible. Mind you, I'm in a wheelchair.
Right. And given your POTS and everything else, I mean, being wheelchair accessible and also just having the support bars and everything are kind of integral for you to use when you're using the bathroom.
Yeah,
Wow.
so I went to my local hospital for my last two admissions
Okay.
until COVID system numbers come down. The local hospital will probably be safer than the university hospital. Plus, I have some issues with the university hospital's endocrinology team.
Okay. I mean, the medical community is lucky to have someone like you out there, and hopefully in the future when when and if things open back up again. I mean, now we have the
Let's
new.
think positive. They
Okay,
will.
when they open up again, I think they it would benefit them to have someone like yourself come in and speak to, the people training at the university hospital, at local small local hospitals, so to kind of give them a better insight into what they can do for a patient and what to look for, and all of the little things that can make a huge difference in your care. I look forward to that day when you can get out there and really help the future medical practitioners.
Hopefully that day will come and I will be well enough to be able to do that since my health has declined rapidly since the start of the pandemic because of not being able to get the care that I needed at the beginning of the pandemic. I ended up with an infection that was left untreated.
Oh,
Oh,
wow.
geez. And that infection led to additional problems,
Sure.
which led to additional problems.
Oh.
And it's uncertain if I would be as unwell as I am right now had that been treated.
Okay.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I'm
Sorry
so
to hear about
sorry.
that.
Yeah. Oh,
Well,
I could do a whole other podcast
yeah, it sounds like
on
we're going to have you back because.
ways that, yeah. Oh, I have, there are so many different things I could talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll make room for you. I think we're going to be back in January and recording again in January. So we'll have to make extra room for you because, yeah, we want to hear all about it. And
Yeah.
I think your insight can, like I said, be extraordinarily beneficial to healthcare providers and also the friends and family of individuals that are living with chronic illnesses, especially complex
Right.
chronic illnesses. Well, thank you so
Yeah.
much. We're going to include links for the Mayo Clinic and the Cleveland Clinic and rarediseases.org on our website and our page for you. And thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, Anna, and yeah, helping us despite all of our technical issues we're having. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sure our listeners learned quite a bit
I know
with
I
this
did.
episode. Oh, absolutely. And we do look forward to having you back next year.
Thank you, Anna.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and now TikTok.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.